Anyway, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into the ministry today. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the liberty, Lord, that we have. We thank you for a country, Lord, that we can know freedom, where we can enjoy, Lord, the freedom to pursue the happiness and joy and all that we want to pursue, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the freedom, Lord, to worship you, which our forefathers left their countries to be able to enjoy coming over here, Lord, so that they would be able to worship freely before you and not be forced into worshiping one way or not gathering or not being able to spread the word or not being able to read the Bible, or that all these European lands were oppressing the people with at that time. I thank you, Lord, that this nation was founded on principles of freedom and principles, Lord, of honor to you. I thank you, Lord, that it's kept us all these years. Thank you, Jesus. We think, Lord, how the freedoms are trying to be taken away right now, Lord. But we just thank you, Lord, that you're a force, a powerful force, Lord. And wherever you are, Lord, we have true freedom. I ask, Lord, that you bless the message tonight. I pray, Lord, that you just speak your words to our hearts and bless us. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Getting broken down here. God is good, isn't he? We are a blessed people. We really are. We live in a blessed nation. We've had the blessings of God for 200 years. And how many now? 230 years. We've been blessed. Really have. I know one day that this nation is going to have to falter away from its freedoms that it's had, so that the time of the evil one, son of perdition, can manifest, you know. But up until this time, God has been good to this nation, and it's been a powerful force in this world for the spreading of the gospel. And that's been great. We just praise the Lord for that. I think of the inception of our country. We call it Independence Day. And when we think of independence and freedom, you know, we got to talk about freedom, right? Our independence was won 230 years ago, or actually it wasn't quite 230 years because there was a war that was fought, but the Declaration of Independence was over a little over 230 years ago, and there was a war, a battle that was fought, Revolutionary War. Great battle. What was the purpose? Why did we fight this war? Why did our forefathers indulge in this war? Indulge, I don't know if that's the word, but why did they fight that war? What was the reason? There was a tyrannical, oppressing government that was trying to force its way on a people that were looking for freedom to worship God. Basically, that's all it was. And they came to the conclusion that the only way that they could break this is to fight. And a lot of blood was lost. A lot of lives were lost. Years later, here we are. I want to talk about, kind of correlate just a few thoughts of our independence with our independence in Christ. I just want to look at that for a while. If you would turn to John chapter 8, just kind of as a launching point, I want to look at John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. You know, we have an Independence Day. Did you know that? Christians have an Independence Day that we celebrate. We call it Resurrection Day. Some people call it Easter. I prefer to call it Resurrection, the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And we'll get into that. We'll see where our independence is won. But let's look at John chapter 8, starting with verse 31. Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered to him, "We are Abraham's offspring and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Pretty much close the book right here and go home on this one. This is awesome, powerful stuff, isn't it? Amen. We were under slavery to a powerful force. Jesus puts it this way, the one that commits sin is a slave to sin. People don't realize it, but they're born into slavery. Did you know that? Every human being is born into slavery. We'll see that in just a second, but in fact, if you'll just turn to Ephesians chapter 2, we'll see that right now. Humans, from the time they're born, are born into slavery to a master, a cruel master called sin. It's a driving force. People don't realize it. They think that they're out there living their own lives, doing what they're pleased, what they think. But it's not that way. It really is not that way. You try to do good and find out how easy it is for you to continue in doing good. Just try. Try for 1 week not to totally love somebody. I mean, never hurt them or anything. You just see what happens. It won't last very long. Let's read this, chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. "And you were dead in your..." I'm just going to kind of follow. We're going to read chapter 2 and then we're going to flip over to chapter 4 after that. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." You were dead. "In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." In another place it calls him the god of this world. Okay. Talking about Satan here. "According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature naturally born children of wrath, even as the rest." You were born into this state of being under this power and this flow of this world. And this flow is controlled by the spirit of disobedience. The rebellion that Satan rebelled, that same rebellious spirit is flowing through this world. And every child who is born in this world is born under that power. And you don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a child not to steal or to take things from other kids. You've got to spend time teaching them to do good. If you leave them alone, what's going to happen? They're going to flow with that flow. That's the way it is. Everybody is born a slave to sin. Everybody. There's not one soul that's born in this world. In fact, Romans 5:12 says, you know, just as through one man sin entered into this world, and death through sin, for all have sinned. All sin. There's not one person that can make it through this life perfect without sinning. In fact, not a person that can make it probably even through a day without sinning. Maybe not a minute. In fact, when you try to do good on your own, you end up sinning against God because you start, "Look at me, I'm doing it," you know. You get real haughty and prideful, and sometimes the most religious people are the most horrible people to be around, and probably the most putrid in God's nose. You know, who did Jesus rebuke the hardest? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the religious, perfect people of that society. They didn't do anything wrong, and they were respected by everybody. But Jesus saw right through them. Hypocrites, right? There is not one person, not one, the Bible says, that has done, that can live without sinning. Not one. Everybody is imperfect. Everybody is under this power. Look at chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. Just want to kind of establish our slavery here so we can appreciate our freedom. Amen? This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. Vanity, right? Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you haven't learned Christ this way. It's just the way it is in this world. You're born into this. You're born to a master, and it's a very cruel driving master called sin. Before I became a Christian, there was a lot of things going on in my life, and my eyes were being opened to a lot of things. And one of the things I realized was I'm not in control of my life. And I was dating this person, this girl, and I wanted to have a pure... All of a sudden decided, man, I want to have a pure relationship with this person. You know, I want to change the ways that we've been. It didn't work. You know? That there's a driving force called sin. And people have to understand that. You think you're in control of your life. Look at all the drug addicts and alcoholics and people are getting driven by gambling and all that. It's a force. Look at the people who just easily tell lies. And, you know, it's just a driving force. They think they have control of their life, but they're not in control of their life. They're under a slave master called sin. It's a very powerful, powerful slave master. And there is no freedom from that in yourself. You cannot free yourself from sin. You're not going to make it. Like I said, we already know that. We've established that. And because of sin, death has entered into this world. God put it this way. The soul that sins, he shall die. Right? We know of the eternal judgment on sin. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it talked about us being the children of wrath. You know, we're the children of wrath. God's wrath is directed towards this sin. He's got to destroy it. And everybody under this taskmaster is going to be destroyed along with that sin. Right? The wages of sin is death. Amen? Very cruel. Very horrible. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, I'm sorry. There's another master who's taking advantage of this power called sin. And keeping control of all humanity. That's why you call him the God of this world. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. So this way, we're kind of cutting into a thought here. But since then the children share in flesh and blood, he, this is Jesus himself, likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. If you're a slave to sin, you're also a slave to an even crueler taskmaster called Satan. And he uses that weakness in all humanity called sin, and he drives people to things. And he'll drive you. And his desire and his joy, I don't know if he can have joy, but his joy is to destroy you. And he wants to destroy you. And he keeps you under fear. That's why there's so many religions in this world. Because man is afraid. Man is afraid. And they have got to do something to appease themselves. And they think that by doing good, or by worshiping this thing, or by praying enough, or something like that, It makes them feel better about themselves, but they got to continue doing it. And they got to do it and do it and do it and do it. And it never helps. And they never attain to it. And it's something you have to attain to, if you know what I mean. There's not a religion on this world. And when I'm saying that, I'm excluding our faith in Christ, because I don't consider it a religion. I consider it a way of life. But there's not a religion on this world that doesn't have that kind of a driving force in it. You have to attain to something, and you've got to work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it to try to get yourself free from this guilt and from this fear. And it doesn't work. And you see these people dying, and they're not peaceful. And they cry out. Talking about that atheist, I think Brother Buddy's told him, and I've heard stories about, on their deathbed, they're screaming and crying, "Oh God!" You know, it's too late. They're afraid. There is no peace in the death of a sinner. And there is no peace in the life of a sinner. There is fear. And they're driven by fear. Fear of death. And they'll fill their lives with noise. They'll fill their lives with activity, whatever to keep their mind off of this all day. I enjoy being somewhere very quiet, but there was a time when I had to have noise. I was not peaceful. I had to have things going on, and I'd be in the middle of a crowd and I'd be lonely, you know, because I was not at peace. I was not fulfilled. I was empty, and I was afraid. There is no peace to those who are under the slave master called Satan. And he has a kingdom. Let's go on to Colossians chapter 1. It's just... I'll have to find that place. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And we'll look at Acts after that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says that, "For he delivered us from the domain, kingdom of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." Satan has a kingdom. And every person that's born is born into this kingdom. I don't care if you're born in a Christian family. You are born into this kingdom of Satan. You just have the grace of God in your life. Until you come to that place where you choose either God or you choose to go your way. And you're not in control. Because you're either under God or you're under Satan. You can't have neither. There is no neither. Alright? You're born into this kingdom. You're born into this kingdom where you have a cruel slave master called Satan who drives you because of this driving force called sin that controls your life. It's a kingdom. And he keeps you in darkness, and he keeps you ignorant of anything that God could give you. All the blessings of God, he keeps you under this. And I'm preaching to the choir here, most of the people, but we gotta understand this, you know. Look, when you look around and you see people, we gotta realize there. If they're not in Christ, they're in Satan. If they're not in Christ, they're in Satan. They're under his power. They're in his dominion of darkness. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. There's no other course. There's no other state. You're either in Christ or you're in Satan. In fact, you don't have to turn there, but you can put it up here if you want. Acts chapter 26. Let me just read down verse 15 through 18 when Paul was knocked down by Jesus with a bright light. And Paul is telling of his testimony later on. He tells the purpose that he was called. In Acts chapter 26, verse 15, it says, And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise up and stand to your, on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to those things which you have seen, but also to those things which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified. I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they can turn from this darkness to this light, to light, and from the dominion, from the kingdom of Satan to God. That's my purpose I'm sending you, Paul. That's the purpose he sends any missionary. He sends anybody out, is to turn them from the dominion of Satan. When you walk through this life, when you walk around and you see people all around you that don't know Jesus, or that just know of Jesus, but haven't been born again, they're under this power. They're driven by a cruel, tyrannical slave master, and his only joy is to destroy them. And that's all the joy he's going to have. I mean, he has his thrills out of destroying people. He doesn't want you happy. These people, these Satan worshippers and rock stars who sing about Satan and say all these things. They've interviewed people going to some of these concerts, and you know, and they ask them, you know, well, is God good? No. He's an evil person. He's horrible. He keeps me from having fun. Well, is Satan good? Yeah. He rocks, man. Whatever language they were using at the time. Would you rather be in heaven or hell? No, I'd rather be in hell where I can party all my life. I can party forever, you know. They don't know what the world they're talking about. You know? I'm serious. They don't know what they're talking about. They are ignorant. And they've swallowed a lie that Satan has thrown out at them. You know, it's sad. And all Satan is doing is laughing because he's destroying them and hurting God's heart in the process. He's very cruel, and he could care less about your welfare or your well-being. He could care less about if you're healthy or not. He could care less about you. He doesn't care about you. He's just spiteful against God and wants to destroy you because God loves you so much. Amen? We got a cruel, tyrannical ruler. Well, we don't. But this world does. And we had him. If you're in Christ, you had him. Past tense. He's gone. Let's go on to that portion of this message. We've established that there was something that we needed to be independent of. Just as America, in its early stages, was under this rule, and oppressive rule, and decided, we've got to be free from this. So a war had to happen. Well, there was a war that happened. There was a fight that happened. 2,000 years ago, about. Let's look at that. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you're going to be free. And there's a reason for that. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 2. And we'll look down at verses 13 through 15. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. To put it simply, when he died on that cross, he ended up being the victor. triumphing over Satan. And all the decrees of the soul that sins shall die. And if you don't live perfectly, you'll never enter into God's kingdom. All these decrees that were against us, they're all nailed to that cross. He took them with him. And he overcame them. And when he rose again from the dead, they were left behind. And so was Satan. And we have a new ruler in this world. He's a rightful ruler now in this world. He has the right to have mankind under him in God's, you know, ways that he had. Satan earned his right by deceiving man. Man subjected himself to Satan. When Jesus victored over Satan through death and sin was conquered, right there, he overcame for us. And he became the one that could deliver us from the power of sin. And because he delivered us from sin, Satan has no more control. Amen? I'm getting ahead of myself, probably. But anyway, that's awesome. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 2. Again, if you want to, you don't have to actually go there. I'll just read it again. Since then the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. He became man, that through death, just what I was saying, on the cross, he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Satan had power over us. And might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Right? Because we were afraid of death, and Satan had control of us through our sins. Right? Isn't that awesome? Oh, death, where is your sting? Let me read it right. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. But when the perishable will have put on imperishable, that's 54, verse 54 on down, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of death is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He gave us the victory. We've been set free from the kingdom of darkness and delivered into the kingdom of his beloved Son, having had all our sins forgiven through his blood. If the sins are forgiven, and if there's no more ability for Satan to control us because of our sins, then we're free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. We're free from the death that results from sin, first of all. Romans 8:1 says, now there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the spirit of life has set us free from the spirit of death and sin, something like that. Butchering that part of it. We're made free from this judgment, that's the wrath that is upon sin. We've been freed from it. He's delivered us. You're delivered. You are delivered. Does that sink in? You have been delivered. And there is not a sin that you can commit from now on till you die that'll ever be counted against you. In that way. You're going to pay for it in this world, probably. The consequences of it. But you're not going to be judged. You're not going to have the eternal wrath of God coming upon you. You have been freed from its consequences, its eternal consequences. You have been freed. You have no more condemnation reigning on you. We have an independence. And that was done 2,000 years ago. But there is also the aspect of being freed from the power of sin itself. Doesn't mean that you'll never sin. But you're free. You don't have that driving force that you used to have. Most people can give testimony to being just freed from things. I can look back on my life. Let me read this first. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of it all, but verse 8 and 9 says, "The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God." It's not saying that you will never sin. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said in chapter 2, you know, that you'll have an advocate with the Father if you do sin, little children. That's not what he's trying to say. He's saying that's not going to be your way of life anymore. You're not going to be driven by this power. And I found that out. I wish I could go into details of some of the things that the Lord set me free from that I struggled with before I became a Christian. God set me free. I mean, I didn't even have the desires for these things. There's people who are alcoholics who turn to God. And from that moment, their desire for alcohol is gone. They're freed from it. There's people who, there's all kinds of addictions and vices and different things that people are involved in, and that people are controlled by. And when that person truly comes to the Lord, they get transformed. I just look back in unbelief at how things changed in my life. after I told the Lord, "I'm sorry." I blew it. The Lord came to me it was a really interesting situation. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about God when I went into my dorm room, and the Lord just appeared to me, not visually, but his presence came into this room. I just like, whoa. And God spoke directly to my heart, "David, you don't please me." Cuts me even now. I said, "God, I'm so sorry. If you will change me, if you'll clean me up, I'll serve you the rest of my life." That's what I told him. And I look back in just over the period of months, I look back in the things that I thought were fun, you know, going partying and all that kind of stuff. I just lost the desire for it. I just started losing the desire for it. I didn't purposely. I wasn't really even going to church and doing things. I was, you know, I went to a Sunday school at a Baptist church, but I really wasn't purposely reading, okay, what do I need to do? I need to do this, okay, I need to change this in my life. I mean, knew all those things, but I wasn't even thinking of those things. One good thing was that for our New Testament 101, we had to read the Bible to pass the tests. And I wanted to make an A in everything, so so I read the Bible, you know. But I found something really funny happening in my life, you know, just the things that the Bible was saying. I'd read it, I'd just be reading it, and it seemed like it just started working in me and changing me. I started to change. And I look back and I'm like, whoa, what happened? The words that I used to say, I stopped saying. And I started getting to the point where I couldn't stand hearing them. And I used to so easily just, didn't matter who was around, you know, that rebellious spirit. I changed. And I'm looking back, I'm like, whoa, what's happened to me? What's going on with me? And the Lord did a few more things after that. You change. Things, you're freed. That driving force is not there anymore. You get a new heart. God plants His nature in you. Amen? Are you happy about this? God does this for you. You're changed. You no longer are under this driving force called sin. You will mess up. And there are things that you have to be sanctified from. You know, as you walk in your life, you'll find out that, I'm displeasing God in this area. But God gives you the same strength. The same way He did it when you first became a Christian is the way we're supposed to do it, right? Walk in the Lord Jesus. In fact, isn't that what it says in Colossians chapter 2? Let me just read that. This is kind of sidetracking here, but as you have therefore received Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. The same way you received Him, just walk in Him. You know, did you force yourself to do this and this and this and this? No. You just gave yourself to Him. And that's what you're supposed to do every day. And that's where your power for the rest of those things that you're being freed from comes. But you don't have the driving force anymore. You're freed from that master. You're freed from Him. Amen? Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, He says, if you follow My word, then you're truly My disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'll make sure I'm reading it right here. If you stay in My word, if you live in My word, if you continue in My word, you'll know the truth. You're My disciples if that's so, and the truth will set you free. When our country became freed from Britain, another government was set up. Isn't that right? Freedom does not mean anarchy. Does not mean everybody just does however they please. That's not what freedom is all about. We're under a new government, the government of Christ. And we're under, but he's not a taskmaster. His desire is for your well-being. And He wants the best for you. If you abide in, if you continue in My words, if you continue in the things that I tell you, if you continue in the ways that I give you, then you're My disciples, and you will know the truth. Of course, He is the truth, but you'll know the truth of God also. And that truth will set you free. We hear that misquoted so much. It bothers me every time I hear it. When you hear it on TV shows and whatever, you know, the truth will set you free. Yeah, it may set you free, but this is talking about a different truth. This is talking about the truth, the real truth. You're going to know it, and it's going to set you free. You're going to know Jesus. You'll be walking with Jesus, so you're going to know Him, and you're going to know God's ways. And then you'll know the true freedom that God has. If you get a computer, you got to use it the right way for it to work, right? Isn't that right? And if you do wrong things with it, it kind of just doesn't go right. And you wonder what happened. If you get a car, you better use it right, or you might be crashing, you know? There are rules to keep it going the way it's supposed to go, and God knows exactly what you need in your life for you to be happy and healthy and full and fulfilled. He has guidelines for you. Is He trying to be a cruel dictator over your life? No. Is He trying to be a loving parent in your life? Is that what He wants? Yes. He wants the best for you. Continue in His word, and you'll know His truth, and you'll be free. You'll have happiness. You'll have peace. You'll be freed from fear. What else can I say? I mean, people can add on later on if they want to. Amen? Paul warns us in Galatians 5:13. He says, you have been called into liberty, but don't use this liberty for an occasion for the flesh. Don't use it to just fulfill your desire, your things, everything that you want. Your greed, I guess that's the best way to put it. You know? Let's look at Galatians. Just turn to Galatians chapter 5 because I wanted to look at a few things. This is the desires and the activities of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5:13, Paul says, you were called into freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Love fulfills all the law. That's what it says. But look down at verse 19. Now these are the activities, the deeds, the works of your flesh. For the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, you know, strife. I want to be better. I can't stand that person because blah, 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 you know, whatever. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the activities of the flesh. Paul says, you have been called into freedom. You have freedom. But don't let these things become active in your life. You may not go to hell because of it. But Jesus warns that the one who commits sin is a slave to sin. If you look at Colossians chapter 6, verse 12, we'll see a little bit more warning on that note. Colossians chapter 6. Let me get that over. Not Colossians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And people are like, well, I don't see anything written like that. Verse 12 says, all things are lawful to me. You can do these things. Probably. I don't know why you'd want to, but you can do these things. You know? And it's not going to send you to hell. All things are lawful to me, but, this is what Paul says, but, not all things are profitable. There's a lot of things you can do, but that's not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Go to Romans chapter 6. I want to kind of follow that thought. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? The more sin you have, the more God's grace is there. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? When you believe in Jesus and you enter into his death, you've been placed into Jesus, and as a expression of that, we're baptized, but you've been placed into Jesus, you've been placed into his death. And therefore we have been buried with him through the baptism unto death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its desires. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and have been freed from sin, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You see the flow that Paul's talking about here? Don't submit yourselves to sin again. You've been freed from it. Why get back into it and let it control you? Amen? It'd be just like America getting freed from England and then asking the king to come and rule over them again. It'd be stupid. Wouldn't it have been? They fought. They died. All the lives and the blood was lost. They fought a hard war, and they won. And then they're saying, well, I like the tea that came from England. And I like the taxes that you put on us. Come on. I don't want all of it, but come rule over us a little bit. You know, it'd be stupid. Wouldn't it have been stupid if America did that? Well, that's just the same thing when you become a Christian and you say, well, I can do anything I want to now because I'm free from condemnation. So, man, I just live it up, you know. How stupid. Why get caught up in the same things that were destroying your life to begin with? You don't live and get back all up in it. You know, there's a way that God has for you. That's the best way. And that you will be the most fulfilled and the most blessed. Amen? Why get all caught up in that again? You have been freed from it. You died to it. Don't get involved in it again. Stay away from it. Don't present yourself. It talks about you've got to yield yourself to it. It's not controlling you. You have to let it control you. Amen? We're freed from it. And we become slaves to God. We're servants of God. Paul called himself a bondservant of Christ. A servant was somebody that was hired. A bondservant was a slave. What happened? What was a bondservant? A bondservant was someone that when the year of Jubilee, or actually it was 7 years that they were supposed to release him, they decided, I don't want to leave this house. I'm going to be your servant forever. And they drove an awl through their ear. I guess they had to put a ring in after that, as a sign that they belong to that family forever. You know? Paul called himself a slave of Jesus. We're slaves of Jesus. Amen? We belong to Him. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me get that right again. Verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You belong to Him. You're His. And you come under His government. And you come under His rule. And you abide in His word. And then you know freedom. You know freedom. This world does not know freedom. And all the things that you see this world doing, and all the things that you think, young people, are fun out there, you will find out they are not fun. Sin is pleasurable for a moment, it says. It gets control of you and it destroys you. It will destroy you. It doesn't care. Satan doesn't care about you. God loves you very, very much. And He wants the best for you. And His ways are the best for you. And that's the ways that we need to find. And that's the ways we need to seek. And that's the ways we need to submit ourselves to. We need to submit ourselves as slaves to God. Servants of God. Not as slaves to sin. Amen? We have an Independence Day. And we're set free. And we're set free from something a whole lot bigger and a whole lot worse than any tyrannical rule of any country that's on this earth. They're just a glimpse. When you see these tyrannical rulers, and you see these, like, Islamic countries with, you know, oppressive regimes, and they're just a glimpse of their master Satan and his rule in your lives and over the lives of this world. It doesn't compare. Why would you want to stay with him? Why would you want to stay in his kingdom? Why? Makes no sense. Why do you want to be driven day after day after day after day? When Jesus has so much to offer us. He's offered us true freedom. And He paid for it 2,000 years ago. We have an Independence Day. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll just open it up for a short time to for any of your input. Father, I just thank you. thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for freeing us, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord, that you've given us so that we can continue in it. And thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that you've given us to help us to understand and help us to know and give us the power to follow, Lord. And most importantly, thank you, Lord, that we can know you. And thank you even more than that, that you died for our sins 2,000 years ago so that we could be freed. Freed from destruction, freed from death, freed from Satan, freed from sin, and could walk in life and blessing with you, in you. I thank you so much, Lord, and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.